Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips and the PC. It is Saturday, the 28th of July, Anno Domini 2018, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. What should we talk about?
Oh, geez.
Anything happened this week?
Nothing important. One thing happened. Yesterday, New York's utility regulators moved to revoke Charter Communications' ability to operate in our state, arguing the Charter, which we know as Spectrum, hasn't lived up to the terms of its 2016 merger with Time Warner Cable. The Public Service Commission gave Charter 60 days to submit a plan to hand over its New York operations to a new cable, internet, and phone provider, rescinding the state's previous approval of major cable merger. Charter has been locked in a battle with Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration over the rollout of high-speed internet access in rural areas of the state. On Friday, the commission escalated that battle by revoking its approval of the 2016 Charter-Time Warner cable merger, which would prevent the company from operating in New York and will likely launch a prolonged court battle. The commission approved the decision unanimously at a hastily called meeting on Friday, along with a civil lawsuit hoping to bring additional financial penalties against the company. PSC chairman, that's the Public Services Commission, PSC chairman John Rhodes, said Charter is simply not serving New Yorkers. We need to seek a different provider. A Charter spokesrobot did not say what steps the company may try to take and block the order. The Public Service Commission's order requires the company to maintain its service throughout the state while planning for a transition to a new company. It's like your boss telling you to train your replacement.
Yep.
Charter was required to extend its broadband network to 145,000 new homes and businesses in more rural areas of the state while hitting certain benchmarks along the way. The state commission says Charter has repeatedly missed its six-month benchmarks, including a June 2018 deadline to hit 58,417 new addresses in areas that aren't densely populated. Charter denies that claim, however, and says it is ahead of schedule. According to our friend Phil Dampier, who I apologize to Phil. I meant to call him yesterday. He was on my list. Life got in the way. I wanted him to speak. If he's listening, please, Phil, call in. I apologize for not getting hold of you. According to our friend Phil Dampier over at Stop the Cap, a proposal to replace Spectrum cable systems in New York with a workers' co-op owned and self-managed by its workers would offer a bundle of television, phone, and broadband services, price capped at $100 a month for residential customers. Wouldn't that be nice? Developed by several dozen striking Charter Spectrum workers, the 18-page proposal would for now address only the five boroughs of New York City and nearby Bergen, New Jersey. But they say the current proposal as written is a proof of concept and can be adopted across New York State. Finding enough money to proceed will be the co-op's biggest challenge. If New York does strip Charter of its Spectrum cable franchises in the state, and if that effort survives the inevitable court challenges, Charter would likely sell its systems in New York to Comcast. And obviously motivated buyer. Another possible but less likely buyer is Altice, which acquired Cablevision and already provides services in parts of downstate New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Now, the commission was moved to rescind the company's merger for, among other issues, failing to meet the following objectives. The company's repeated failures to meet deadlines, Charter's attempt to skirt obligations to serve rural communities, unsafe practices in the field, failure to comply fully commit to its obligations under the 2016 merger agreement, and the company's purposeful obfuscation of its performance and compliance obligations to the commission and its customers.
Because they basically, by next year, they were supposed to have speeds up to 300 megabits.
Right.
And that's not close.
That's not universal, certainly.
Right. And they're still not, as the commission reported, servicing the more rural areas,
right,
that they said they would.
Yep.
Right. And of course, Charter is saying they've they were supposed to do 57,000, they've done 86,000. But of course, New York State's saying it's not in the right areas.
Yeah.
See, 86,000 people in areas that we didn't tell you to put people in doesn't count. Anyway, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is New York moves to kick Charter Spectrum Cable out of the state. And your choices are, that's horrible, that's great, depends on who we get, and will this disrupt my dial-up service? You people are smarter than you look. Well, you'd have to be. And 70% of you chose depends on who we get, followed by that's great, followed by, of course, this will disrupt my dial-up service. One person thinks that's horrible. So far, 27 people have voted, but I know you're going to have more to say about this. If you scroll down on the right, under Fascinating Stuff, the first link there is the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the first item under the poll discussion is 28 July 18. New York moves to kick Charter Spectrum Cable out of the state. A lively discussion has already begun in there, so feel free to join us in that forum. And, of course, join us live here online in the air, and it's easy to do that. Just give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, and toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. I've been looking at the various alternatives to cutting the cord.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah. Well, done that.
Yeah. But did you see, which I found very interesting, I saw an article, legislation has been introduced which will allow the companies, say, like Hulu and Sling and all those others, to carry local channels.
Right, right. And I would very much like to see that happen. That's the main thing that's missing from at least some of the non-cable entertainment providers. I don't quite know how to put that.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, you can get an antenna. If you're old enough to remember, we all used to have antennas. But depending on, it's the same issues we used to have. Depending on where you are, how high your house is in relation to the Pinnacle Hill, your antenna has to point that way to get the channels.
Yeah.
Although you can get 20 or 30 free high-def broadcast channels with an antenna.
Oh, I get them. I mean, I get all the locals, 8, 10, 13, Fox, XXI. I mean, you know, all
of them. I've found there's two ION channels, ION Life, and QVC and HSN shopping channels. Both have a broadcast equivalent in the high 50s, I think, somewhere, on broadcast television. That surprised me.
Doesn't surprise me. If they can find a way to take your money, they will find a way to take your money.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, but they're moving forward on that, and supposedly then you wouldn't need the antennas because you'd just be like, for me, with Sling, the Sling, I just go ahead and, you know, maybe an extra $5 a month and be able to get all my local channels right there.
Right, Sling is one of the ones I've been looking at, along with Google TV, DirecTV Now, et cetera, et cetera. There's a bunch of them out there. And the real thing is you sit down and you figure out what you actually watch during a week. Then you figure out which provider gives you all of that, and then you go with that provider. It's easy.
And the thing of it is, though, like Sling, they also have, if you want, again, I think it's $5 a month you can get their DVR service.
Right.
So any of the channels that you see and there's time slots, you can sit there and program it and have it record it. You can watch it whenever you want.
Right. And so the basic package is what, like $40 a month?
I get mine for all the channels that I get is $29.99.
There you go. So $30. Well, but then you add $5 for this and $5 for that. So you end up paying about $40 a month.
Well, I got.
But the point is, if you're paying $150 a month for cable, you've got a lot of leeway there.
Oh yeah,
to get extra
but
packages.
I mean, that is with the $29.95 is with the DIY and the Hallmark channels. This other little package added on. For $5. Right.
Discover, the Discover series of channels is also
I love that
is also talking about offering their own package for $5 or $8 a month. We should probably get to the phones. Our first caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. I just returned from vacation, turned my Mac on, updated everything, turned on Gmail, hadn't looked at it in a month. And I am now greeted by not just lots of mail, but the fact that I can't seem to find forward or reply. I kind of went online and found some vague instructions about something had changed or something, but yeah. All of a sudden it's become difficult to find.
Yeah, Google has changed the look of Gmail. Not everybody has it yet. Or, well, I don't know that everybody doesn't have it yet, but some people don't quite have it yet. The basic idea is... Except
for some people, it was an option. There was a try the new Gmail feat, and for other people, they just did it. I think it depends whether you were part of a G Suite or not. But I noticed on one of my accounts, it asked me to try it. I said yes, and oh, crap, I don't like that, and tried to go back.
Right. I'm looking at mine, and again, I don't know. I don't think I have the new one yet, but in the upper right corner... is a little left-pointing swoopy arrow, and that's the reply. Hold on. We got to take a break. Stay on the line. Can you stay on the line? We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Larry from Rochester, and you. It is 16 minutes after the hour. Wow, we're going early. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Computer problems? Get answers from the experts. Sound Bites, noon to 2 Saturdays, only on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 21 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Larry from Rochester still on the line. You still there, Larry?
Yes, I am.
All right. If you open a message and you're looking at it, you're using Gmail on the web, right?
Yes.
Yes. In the upper right-hand corner of the response, you'll see a little printer icon.
Okay, let's see. Underneath. I have expanded my screen. I've expanded my screen almost a length of this Mac, and it's pretty large in order to pick it up.
Yeah, and under it is a reply button.
I see it.
There you go.
Okay, and if you want to go, if you I go still up to, don't see forward or there's forward.
Right. If you pull down the three, the little menu on the side there next to the reply,
it's an arrow on my. On Safari, it's three dots on Chrome.
Three dots on Chrome.
I see the three dots. So let me ask this question then. I've had to expand the screen to see that almost the length of this Mac. And this is, I've got the 2013 Mac or something like this. Pretty big screen. Is there any way to get more information on the screen without having it full screen?
You can zoom the text on the screen. Maybe you're zoomed in too far. Command plus will make all the text bigger.
Command plus, okay.
Command minus makes it smaller. Command zero makes it what the developer originally developed it as.
Okay. Well, I'll sweat that one. At least I see it's here. I was starting to utter curses and oaths.
Yeah.
At least I have that. Now I just need to figure out how to get it on a smaller screen without having to go full screen to see it.
Yeah, and if you want the old way back, if you go to the gear menu, there's a switch back to classic icon. Apparently you can only do that twice because now I don't get the option.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I
once
see
you
it go right. back to classic.
Yeah.
I'll keep what I have for now. I'll just try to figure this stuff out.
Right, there you go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We always hate when they change things. We get a lot of customers in the earlier days. Every time Yahoo changed their webmail interface, we'd get people saying, you know, make them change it back.
Yes. Where the internet is broken.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the internet. Yep. Yeah, we used to get the same thing. It's I get it. It's once you're used to something, it's very hard to change. When I sit down at someone else's computer, I'm lost.
Yep. I know where all my stuff is, the
right.
icons position.
And I have no idea where any of their stuff is.
Yeah. That's one advantage of using a mail reader instead of the website is the reader usually don't change. And if they only change when there's major updates, so it's often a little more static than the others. I remember the biggest change in the Apple Mail was when they went from top and bottom view to side-by-side view. As screens got wider,
right.
you now have three columns, so you can see your list of messages and the whole message in a wide column instead of in a narrow field.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bill from Greece, New York. Hi, Bill, what's up?
Good morning, guys. Got another email question.
Yeah.
Seems that recently when I get emails from eBay and YouTube that there's a large graphic that covers the email subject and the one below it and the one below that and above it, and like it's either a check mark that your order's been shipped or it's a big red circle saying that this video is ready for you. Is there any way to remove those? Do you know what they are?
I have an idea what you're talking about. You can, what is your email program?
I'm using Thunderbird.
Okay. In Thunderbird, you can elect to view graphics or not view graphics. And I don't have Thunderbird in front of me. I can't lead you right to it at the moment. But in the settings for each of your usernames, right, each of your email addresses.
Oh, you got to do it separately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can go in and say, I want to see graphics from this one. I don't want to see graphics from this one.
Okay, I was trying to find a generic. I got to go into each account.
Remote content in messages is what
right.
it's called.
Right, remote content in messages.
They couldn't just say pictures like every other mail program.
Well, because right, because it's not just pictures.
It's more than
and
pictures. Yeah.
Heaven forbid they make it easy for you. They've made it correct for them because they're programmers.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Yep.
The other thing I'd be worried that it might be is an HTML ad.
Especially, yeah, a pop-up ad.
You're right. And so if you switch to text only, you won't get those pop-up ads. But then some emails don't look right because they're not really emails. They're a web page.
Right, right.
Graphics and columns and text.
When email first started out, it was just text. And it was easy. You just read it and you were done. But now, of course, it's got to be fancy backgrounds and curly cues and fonts.
I don't mind rich text that gives you, bold and underlined. But
right. But the nice thing about Thunderbird is you can also, under the view menu, view it as simple HTML, or I believe it's called original HTML. And simple HTML cuts a lot of that stuff out. The rest of it will show up. And, of course, you can also do it as plain text. And the problem with plain text, of course, is that since most mail these days is HTML mail, you will see the HTML code in the mail. And that's why I tend to use simple HTML, which gives me some of the formatting like bold and et cetera, but doesn't give me most of it. And I also hide pictures.
There's a lot of time.
You know, you get to an age where sitting down is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I know. But
a lot of times the spammers will use pictures in the text or sometimes, just a white dot that you can't see. When you download the email and open the message, it downloads that white dot and then the other end knows you downloaded it and you opened their message. So that's the main reason that email programs don't display images by default. If you put someone in your address book or specifically allow a sender to show images, that's usually a setting in the program too, then it will always show their images.
Well, and that is indeed one thing you can do in Thunderbird is when you open – I've got it set to not display images. But there are a couple of vendors from whom I want to see the image. So when I open one of their messages, there's a preferences button. I can click that and it gives me a pull down. One of the choices is always show remote content from this vendor.
Yep.
It's somebody I already know. It's somebody I trust. I know it's not going to be something bad, but I want to see the pictures. So I get it.
I just have to think, I haven't gone into my Thunderbird account in at least 2 years.
Well, you're an antisocial so-and-so, and so yeah. You don't ever talk to anybody, actually.
Yeah, I know it. I'm a curmudgeon. I learned that from some other gentleman.
Yes.
When do I get to start?
Pretty soon. You're almost there.
You got to get to our age.
Because
I'm older than both of you. Yeah. So
put together.
Yeah.
Yeah. He still has, Dave, the fun fact, Dave Enright still has the patent on dirt.
Yeah.
So
I invented it.
So, yeah, you can. Thunderbird is much more powerful than people think. And it lets you do a whole lot of things that generally people don't even think about. But if you really need that feature, it's probably in Thunderbird.
I've just gotten so used to using Google.
Right,
Gmail.
Right.
I mean, I know it's safe, and you know it filters out so much junk for me.
Right. Well, I use Thunderbird to read my Google Mail. Problem is, I have so many email addresses.
That's one of the biggest advantages of a mail program like Thunderbird or Apple Mail or, you know, God forbid, you know, Live Mail on Windows, is that if you have multiple addresses, you might have a work address, a home address, organizations you belong to.
Yeah, and they're all there in the one view. And that's what I used it for, was the Thunderbird was for my business. And it's like, no.
Although you can have Google go pick up mail from all the other accounts.
Right. And I have it grabbed the Jazz account here.
But I've been using Thunderbird for so long, I'm so used to it. I tried moving over to Evolution. And it's nice, but...
Yeah. Was it Pine? Was that the original one?
Pine. I used Pine for a long time, too. Now, Pine
on Links.
Right, Pine on Links.
Going back.
That is one of those programs that a lot of people use because it did not show any graphics whatsoever.
That's probably still in my computer, isn't it?
You don't have it?
No.
Dug on it.
Oh, the command's not Pine anymore, maybe.
Well, it could be. It's probably, who knows?
Well, it's BSD, what was it in BSD?
Right. Good question. But the basic point there is that Pine was back on terminals with text-only email program. And it worked, and I know people who used it for years. One of my faculty members used it because it didn't show any graphics, and it didn't show, and therefore you couldn't get any sort of viruses or anything else for it, and he would just see the text of an email message. The problem, as I said now, is everything is HTML, so you see the code, and you have to now suss out the actual information from inside the code, and it's just easier to do it.
Apparently it's been replaced by Alpine.
Oh, Pine to Alpine, that's right.
Yeah.
So do you have Alpine?
I don't know. Let's try Alpine.
There you go, Alpine.
Alpione?
You have to spell it right. So one of the things they let you do. Well, and you don't have an easy way to install software, do you?
No, you have to load Fink, I think, is the install manager.
Yeah,
If you want to load standard Unix programs in the Mac, you can.
Right.
But you have to load an install manager first.
Right.
So you usually find somebody else's command line to do that with.
Right.
Because they don't do it very well.
Yeah. It's one of the beauties of Linux is that you can just, there are...
I know Cal.
Yeah.
I got a calendar.
There's tens of thousands of programs that are available, and you just install them
for free,
you just install them with either a command line command, or there's a graphical interface that you can use to do it as well. I get annoyed now when I sit down at a Windows or a Mac machine, and I can't just load something up. it becomes much more complex to load it than the way I'm used to doing it.
A little different.
Not only do I have to download Pine, I have to compile it.
Oh, yeah. See, no. No, all I have to do is say sudo apt install Pine. Done. Yeah. Well, type in my password.
Yeah.
But, it's all I have to do. Done.
So much.
Done. I found a program the other day called Piano Bar, and it actually lets me play Pandora from the command line.
Oh, okay.
So I can open a tiny little window in the corner, play a Pandora station without taking up anything on my machine. I don't even have to have a browser open. And so it just works tiny little program. So I have, if I've got an old, and I do have several very old machines that barely can run Linux, but they can run Pianofly because it takes no processing power.
You know, that's one other company that is starting to have a number of issues, and that's Sirius and XM Radio.
Are they?
Well, only from the standpoint that, well, you can get iHeartRadio and you can get Pandora and so many of those others
Spotify.
On your phone, and wherever your phone's going, you're getting it. Yep. Just like Sirius or XM. And you can plug it into that jack on your car, so you don't need to pay for that service. And yep. you can dial in whatever you want.
Before the internet was ubiquitous, you needed a satellite. Now you don't.
That's right. That's right. Now you don't. And you're right, because now you can get, I don't know what it costs. I'm sure it is not cheap, but you can get internet in your car.
I just found a GUI interface to install Pine in the command line.
That is so typically Macintosh. That's just, there's like, that's, I, wow.
and the icon is even a little tree.
Of course it is. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Greece, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hi. You had a caller earlier that was complaining about images in his email.
Sure.
Specifically, it would be in the inbox listing.
Yeah.
Basically, what it is there's a bug there with Ubuntu 18.04 specifically. Apparently, the font they installed in there, the Noto color emoji fonts, are causing the problem. It is really annoying because when you look at your inbox listing, you get these huge icons covering the listing of what it's even about. And they look like rectangles, you know, normally without that being like that. But what you have to do is you have to disable the Noto color emoji font. You know, there's one in there that specifically says that. Once you disable it, you don't get them anymore.
Okay. Thank you. I've not yet installed.
With Thunderbird, for some reason, it doesn't affect Firefox at all. Just Thunderbird.
Oh, interesting. Thank you. I have not installed 1804 yet.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for 1810 because I'm an LDS.
I don't have the actual Ubuntu version myself. I have Pop OS. Mm-hmm. But because it's the Ubuntu 1804 under it, that's what's causing it. And when I did disable that Noto color emoji font, it was gone. All I get now is rectangles there where the images would be. But why it would ever appear in a listing is beyond me. I don't know why anybody would put them in there, because it is very annoying when you're doing your mail.
Well, that may be partly why it seems to only happen with messages from eBay.
To tell you the truth, I get messages from everywhere that it happens with.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my wife gets all kinds of messages, and they put those emojis. They're actually based on Unicode, you know, and it's annoying as hell. You know, you get hearts. If it's your birthday or something about a birthday, you get a birthday cake, huge birthday cake covering like about 9-10 messages.
Yeah. So it's when they put those emojis in the subject line.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's what the problem is.
Got it. Thank you.
It's really a headache. I don't think they were intended to be there originally, but that's where they were being placed.
Right. So not everybody, of course, puts them in there, so he wouldn't see them everywhere.
They might only put them in the body.
No, but there's a lot of them that do.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. For him, it appears to be only eBay and whatever the other one was.
Right.
So that makes sense now. Thank you. I did not know. Like I said, I haven't done much with 1804. I'm on long-term support, so I'm waiting for 1810.
Yeah. As soon as I installed 1804, I noticed that problem right away. But obviously, it's been a while because that was like since April. So I was trying to figure out what it was. And, you know, in the end, it ended up being the font for the color emojis.
Perfect. Thank you.
You get in, you disable that, and you shouldn't have the problem anymore.
Perfect. Thanks. Steve is putting up post about that right now. So thank you so much, Ed. And Bill, I know you're still listening. You can, in about a minute, you can get to the site, our site, and follow that link to find out how to turn off those huge emojis.
For some reason, my link poster is not putting spaces in the text. So I have to go add the spaces in.
And I have to say that this is my favorite part of the show, when one of our listeners calls up and has a solution. That's my favorite thing, and I appreciate that. So thank you, Ed. And Bill,
you're
now
welcome.
You know where to go to get that information. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. The like I said, my favorite part of the show. Makes me happy. And, of course, that's the only reason we all do this, is to make me happy. So I'm feeling better about it.
Yeah, we've only got 100 years of experience between us. Sometimes that's not enough.
Sometimes it is not enough. Well, like I said, I haven't done 1804. Here's the deal with, for those of you who don't understand the way most Unix systems work, Ubuntu in particular puts out two main releases a year. And I'll talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Walter from Greece on the line. Hi, Walter. What's up?
Hello there, Nick. And ironically, I dialed in to call you because I have questions about Ubuntu 18.04.
Sorry, we can't help you.
Thanks for calling.
Next week.
Oh, jeez. Well, let me just say that right now all my computers, laptops, and desktops are running 16.04, the old long term.
Sure.
And I had called you 3 months ago because I purchased a brand new laptop, wanted to install 18.04 on it, and it absolutely didn't. So I followed your advice and put on 16.04, and I sent you a thank you note saying, great, it works.
Good.
So I have just a couple of questions about, because I saw on DistroWatch there is 18.04 and their first improvement, shall we say, 18.04.1. So I just have a few questions that help me so I don't screw things up. Number one is, because I had problems on the new laptop installing 18.04, do you think it would be safe to go to the 0.1, or should I wait until 0.2?
Well, that depends entirely on what your problems were.
It wouldn't load, was one of them. Or then I went to the most basic one, which is Lubuntu, and it would go very slowly, and then it would freeze. It would freeze. So there was
what
nothing
laptop
I could do.
Who made your laptop?
Pardon?
Who made your laptop?
Dell.
Dell what?
It's a Dell Inspiron 15.
Wow.
And it had the AMD 7th generation processor. Don't have it right near me right now.
Yeah. That's the 15.6-inch laptop. Yeah, 15-inch.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't do. So, as I say, I'm running 16. It runs beautifully, runs wonderfully fast, but I'd like to go to 18. And here's where it then relates to the other questions I have relating to desktops. You see, basically, they are running clean, and I'm hoping to move them to 18.04.1, as Ubuntu suggests, is a safe time to do it. How much should I get rid of? What I'm getting at is, on the repositories for 16.04, RK Hunter did not get updates, and it had a bug, and they did not fix it. So I dumped that and went to RK Hunter, I think it was SourceForge maybe, and downloaded that, and everything's been just fine. Should I uninstall that before I go to 18.04.1?
Well, I would make my system as clean as possible.
Okay.
Before I did that, I would, because whenever you install something that is not part of the repository, you're at the mercy of whoever that is.
Okay.
As to whether or not they've updated or updated cleanly. That doesn't mean you can't reinstall.
Right.
But there are people who are talking about having problems with Ubuntu 18.04 on the Dell Inspiron 15, the gaming notebook, essentially.
Yeah.
One of the problems that they have is there's a couple of things. First, it's a UEFI system.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, you have to install it in UEFI boot mode. I'm assuming you've done that.
Yes, I did. Everything went smoothly.
The other problem
is...
It went smoothly. The other problem is you have an NVIDIA card in that.
Yes.
So have you set the no mode set boot option?
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay, then you don't have a problem. Thanks for calling.
Well,
but is that actually in your boot setup, or did you just put it by hand somewhere?
I followed whatever I saw with Ubuntu, other tutorials on the web saying this is what I ought to be doing, and just followed their directions. And so I can't recall exactly.
Okay, well, what you do is you need to go back and see if that became permanent.
Okay.
That no mode set option, if it's actually in the boot, in the grub menu, in the grub setup.
Okay.
Because if it's not, then that's your problem.
Okay. You know what? I waited and made a grub configuration. I did put no mode set in, and everything just continued to run just beautifully.
Well, okay then. The problem is that's working in 1804. But when you try to install 1810, of course, you're not using the same grub loader.
Well, no, I don't have 1804 yet. I'm 1604, and I'm wanting to go to 1804.
Well, right, but that's the same issue.
Okay.
I had that problem with 1604 on my Dell desktop. I had to set a couple of options because it's got a very high speed this and that and the whatever. But so my suggestion is, and of course the problem is if you wipe things out, you've wiped things out. It depends on how much you love that laptop and how rich you are. If you wipe it out, whatever was there, of course, is no longer there. And if you're rich enough, buy a new hard drive.
Okay.
This might be the time to move to that SSD card.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to just experiment on with it. But can I ask you then, going back then, you said make it as clean as possible. I also had Sophos antivirus on there, so I might as well take that out then.
Yeah, anything that didn't come from the repositories, you're going to have to update by hand anyway.
Right, I will.
So by removing that, it means that whatever upgrade you're doing doesn't get caught by anything foreign, and then you can do the reinstall. You would have had to do a reinstall anyway.
Okay. Got it.
Right. So that's probably the best way to do it.
Okay, great. I'm all prepared to do that then.
Now I'll
let you go and talk about the Unix numbering system.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the way Unix numbers things is the year dot the month, and they update twice a year in April and in October. So it's currently 1804. The next update will be called 1810. Then it'll be 1904, 1910. And then any additions they make, it's 18.04.01, just .1, and then .2 and .3 for any updates they make as well. And also, Walter, was it Walter we were just talking to? Yes, it was. There's also an ACPI_OSI option, ACP_OSI equals, and it forces the problem is there's a DSDT bug in it, and it boots it with safe options for that, and that should help with freezing as well. And again, you want to put that in the, as part of your grub_command_line_Linux. In the default grub file, and then run update grub and all that other stuff, and that should work out just fine. But you're going to need to do that, and in order to make it work. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Sherry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Sherry. What's up?
Hi. How are you?
Peachy. How are you?
Okay. I have a question about my HP OfficeJet Pro 8610. I'm having a problem with the ink. I purchased some, original or whatever they call it, the ink from Amazon, and I put them in, and, you know, like months later, it says they're depleted. I have never even printed with them. You know, all I ever print is in black, and I don't print that often, like maybe 5 documents or pieces of paper a year, like 8.5 by 11. And now the ink is says it's depleted, so just on the color. So I'm just wondering, you know, what is going on and what can I do about it, because, you know, the ink is not cheap.
Yeah. The best thing to do is get a laser printer.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Buy a laser printer?
Yeah. Liquid ink printers have many issues, and you found a couple of them. Every time you turn the printer off and on, it uses a little bit of ink, even if you don't print anything. If you leave the printer on, it does print head cleaning every now and then, because the liquid ink can dry up and get crusty on the heads. And so even without you actually printing anything, your printer uses the ink up by itself.
Wow, so it's depleted in a year, and I never even printed in color?
Right, because it still uses all of those colors when it does the head cleanings and maintenance.
Right, and does this thing have multiple colors, or is it one reservoir for all colors?
No, it's got 4 cartridges.
4 separate ones,
Four cartridges, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can get a decent laser printer under $100. For just basic black and white printing, which is what most people need to do.
Right.
And laser toner is a powder and doesn't dry out, so one toner cartridge could last you for years.
Right. The other thing is to check the error message carefully, because it may just be that one of the colors is gone, not all the colors.
Well, no, I got the LCD screen,
yeah.
And it says, you know, 2 of them are gone, and 1 of them is about to be gone. So, wow, that's really interesting.
Okay. Yep, but it is one of the things. Is it a 4-color or a 5-color printer?
Well, 3-color cartridges and 1 black.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they call that a 4-color because black is a color.
Right, black is now a color, yeah.
The way most color printers work, color ink printers work, even if one of the color tanks is out, you cannot print at all, even in black and white.
Yeah, that's my problem. I mean, I don't care about the color, but now I can't print at all.
Right. That's how color inkjet printers are designed.
Yep. Color inkjet printers are great if you do a lot of printing in a lot of colors. It's expensive, but it's great.
Yeah.
What you mostly do is print in black and white, you're much better off buying a low-end laser a mono printer, black, just black. If all you ever print is in black.
Color printers have the advantage of being cheap to buy, but they're very expensive to use because the color ink is so expensive in the long run. You print a full color photograph, you're probably looking at you know, $4 or $5 of ink per page.
Right.
Your $20 ink tank lasts for 100 pages. With a laser printer, they're a little more expensive to buy. You know, you can get a pretty decent one, about $100. But the laser cartridges are so cheap to print. You're looking at 10 cents, 20 cents per page to print with. And you might pay $80 for a toner cartridge, but it will last for 5,000 pages. So it lasts forever.
Okay.
And so they're much cheaper to use in the long run than inkjet printers.
Well, I basically bought the printer because I really wanted to scan documents and save them, you know, on the computer and, you know, just print occasionally. So.
Yeah, right. Well, you can get a standalone scanner, or you can get a laser printer that has a scanner in it, you know, like an all-in-one inkjet printer.
I brought a Brother printer for about 100 and I want to say 20, 30 bucks. I forget now. It's been a while. But it prints black and white like a dream, and it scans amazingly well.
Yeah, Brother.
In color. The scanner is in color.
Right.
It only prints in black and white.
Right. That's basically what I wanted.
Yep. Yeah. Mine was from Brother.
Brother's a really good name. They've been in office equipment forever, longer than HP, basically.
Yeah.
And we joke that someone finally, you know, Brother faxes were common forever. Someone figured out that a fax machine is a printer.
Yeah.
And so let's plug it into a computer and we'll sell printers now.
Yep. That's pretty much what they did.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's good. Thanks for the info. I didn't know all that.
Yeah, it's not easy to get that kind of information because so many people assume if you're going looking for a printer or a copier or a combination, you already know all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody says, now look, here's what you need to know.
Right.
But that's why we're here.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure, Sherry. Good luck.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I know some commercial printers that they'll have gallon jugs of ink that they feed into the printer. Because if you can buy it by the gallon, it's cheaper. If you look at the color ink tanks, it's like half a milliliter.
Right.
0.5 milliliters.
Yeah, it's...
And if you
liquid gold.
If you multiply that out, you're at $4,000 or $5,000 a gallon.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you can buy a gallon of ink for $20,
exactly,
and feed that into your printer, so a lot of the big commercial printers are like that. I was at one guy's shop working on his computer, and he was printing these banners, 3 feet wide and 10 feet long, and he got like 6 feet into it, and there was a font error. So, oh, crap. So then he's got to throw away all that paper and ink. And then he fixes it and starts printing it again. Gets about 6 feet in, and the paper runs out. Ah, crap. So then he loads a new roll of paper, and I say, you better check the ink. You don't want to run out of ink in the middle of this print.
Yeah, right. And you can get a decent Brother wireless color laser printer for a couple $100.
Yeah,
now, by the time you're adding scanning and everything else to it, it's a little...
Yeah, black and white only you can get for under 200. If you want to add color laser for the occasions you do want color, then you're a little more.
Right. All right, we're going to take a slightly longer break. You've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but don't go away because we're going to go back to do it all over again. Take a little bio break and come on back because we'll be here with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Matt from Rochester, New York on the line. Hi, Matt. What's up?
Hi. I put on two-factor identification on my iPad, and could you possibly tell me how to remove it?
Let me find out. You have to, on a website, go into a web browser on a computer. You go to appleid.apple.com.
Appleid?
Yep, .apple.com.
Okay. Yes.
And...
Wait a minute. Please turn down your radio, sir. We can hear that in the background.
Okay. Well, I had it real low. Okay, is that better?
Yes. Yeah.
Much thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and then I'm doing it now to see where it is. Somewhere in there is a security section. Yep, two-factor ID is on. There's an edit button, so you can turn off two-factor ID. Let's see if it lets you do that. I'm a little worried that it won't let you. Yes, you can. You still can turn off two-factor ID.
Okay, go to... Security.
Yep.
Then edit.
And then edit. And then there's a turn off two-factor authentication command.
Oh, that's super.
Yeah.
Now, may I have another question, please?
Sure.
Well,
hold on.
Generally speaking, two-factor is a good thing because it does prevent people from logging into your account. Even if they get your password, they still can't log in without your phone or iPad to get that second ID.
Okay.
So it's a good security precaution.
Because I do online bill paying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just need a little panic there. I couldn't find how to take it off. The second question is, I went into my, tried to pay a bill, and it always says that the site may not operate right without cookies, but I always continue onto the site and nothing ever happens. Well, today, I only got like, the page wasn't looking right, and I just couldn't bring up the page the way I usually do, so I was just wondering if maybe I should turn on cookies, and if that's the case, could you tell me how to do that?
Well, I don't think you need to turn on cookies. Cookies have nothing to do with the way the site looks.
But it may have something to do with the way the site operates.
Right.
And so that could there could be something not working that you don't know because it's not working.
But the first thing I would do is just wait a little while and try again.
Oh, okay.
It may not be your end.
I've tried to reinstall the app, but I couldn't find the exact app for it.
Well, again, it may not be at your end. It may be that the other end is having some trouble. So whenever you run into a situation like that where you're logging onto something out on the internet, wait a while, maybe half an hour, an hour, and then log back in again, and then see if you're still having a problem. If you are, then it may not be the other end. It may indeed be something at your end. But in general, because what's really happening is mostly happening at the other end, if there's a problem, it's their problem, not yours.
Okay, do you use the two-factor yourself, Steve?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Okay.
And in general, third-party, cookies themselves aren't intended to be bad. And in general, the cookies are okay. It can remember things you've seen on a website. It can remember your username so you don't have to type it again. What we have seen is third-party cookies are used for advertising tracking. So you go to website A, and there's an ad from website B that puts a cookie on your computer. And so that website B is a third-party cookie. A lot of browsers... Excuse me. In the cookie settings, you can block all cookies, or you can block just third party cookies. And in most cases, blocking third party cookies is all you need to do, because websites don't work with first party cookies turned off. And we're seeing more and more websites now are warning you that they have cookies, and you have to agree to accept them or not.
Well, that's the GDPR.
Right, because of GDPR, companies have to tell you what they're doing when they put information on your computer.
GDPR stands for General Data Protection Rule, and it's a European Union rule designed to protect the consumer. And so America doesn't really have to follow it, except that if they have people logging in from Europe and they don't get the GDPR notices, they can sue a lot of money. So it's just easier even for American companies to put the thing on and not have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, it seems that Europe is concerned about user rights, and the U.S. is a little more concerned about corporate rights.
Exactly. That is exactly correct. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Judy from Webster, New York. What's up, Judy?
Well, I'm trying to change over to Gmail from Yahoo.
Okay.
And in my Yahoo Mail, I had a preview pane for my mail, so I didn't have to, like, open the whole thing up just to see what it was.
Right.
Is there such a thing in Gmail?
Well, a couple of things about that. First, the preview pane actually is opening up the email. So if there was anything malicious in that email, you would still see it. You would still get it because it's not just a view of it. It actually is opening it up. But once you understand all of that, then yeah, there is a way to see the preview pane and you
yeah,
have
I'm
that
looking
there.
For it. It's in the lab section.
Oh, it's one of the lab add-ons?
Yeah.
Okay, so what you need to do is in the new Gmail, up in the upper right-hand corners, there's that little gear.
Yeah.
Okay, so you click on the gear, and there's a pop-up menu, and yeah. you go to Get Add-ons. And in the search bar, you can type the word preview. And, oh, no, that's Dropbox. I don't know how you do it. Steve has a link. There you go.
Yeah, I'm putting up. Search for tab in the bubble, enable the preview lab. So let me actually get into my Gmail account here.
So should I forget all of what you just said?
Well, we're going to put up a link.
But, yeah, that's how you get to it. You have to go into labs and enable the preview pane. From the settings icon, go into labs, and then type preview in the search tab.
So what we're going to do Judy, we're going to put up a link on soundbites.org that will take you to a help page that tells you how to set this up. Okie doke? Because it's a fairly involved process. It would take us a long time to go through it on the air.
And the other thing is when you're in Google Mail, the first time you open a message, you're in a preview pane. And then you've got back and forward buttons to preview and move back and forth between each of the messages you're in.
Right. The big deal is the preview pane gave you the opportunity to get an idea of what the email was in case you didn't get enough information from the subject line. The problem is that the preview pane, one of the things that people have a problem with mail is that malicious stuff can come in emails, not obviously from companies you know, but if you get a message from someone you don't recognize, that can have bad stuff in it. And that stuff gets activated when you open the email. Well, the preview pane, in fact, actually opens the email. They call it a preview pane, but it's an actual opening of the email. So most people recommend that you don't use a preview pane, because that way, if you see something from someone you don't know, you can delete it without ever having opened it. But if you want to open it, if you want to see that preview pane, Steve's putting up a link on how to do that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we thought we were being safe by using the preview pane, but it turns out not so much, because the preview is opening the message.
Right. Now, if they had a preview pane that didn't show graphics and didn't run JavaScript.
And that's sort of what the browsers have started doing now by not loading remote content, so it doesn't show you those pictures. But it will still execute any Java that might be in the email, and that's where a lot of the malicious stuff comes from, is the JavaScript. So email that was intended to send us text is now sending pictures and code and script and programs, masquerading as an email.
Right.
And just by previewing it, you can get your machine infected by it.
That's right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, basically. Thanks. I'm going to ask the question and then get off the line because my connection is kind of bad here. My internet provider Spectrum, and we're done with our year-long service with them. We used to be on Frontier, but unfortunately didn't have a very good experience with them, so we wanted to go shopping a bit, only to find that we can't seem to find anyone else. And I said, geez, I have to call you guys to ask if you guys know of anyone. And that's all my question is.
Hold on. Don't hang up because I got follow-up questions.
Okay.
Are you specifically looking for entertainment options or internet service options? Or both?
If I understand the question, like, we use a lot of YouTube, especially.
That's all part of the internet. So I'm talking about, you know, television shows, movies on demand.
We do use Netflix. I don't know if that helps. We do have DirecTV.
That's still
okay.
Internet.
Yep, that's all. If it's DirecTV now, then it's the internet only. And so you're not using Time Warner Cable. Our news, all that stuff.
Well, I'm confused because I thought Spectrum was Time Warner Cable.
Well, there's
cable internet, there's cable telephone, and there's cable TV. There's three separate services.
Right. So cable television is what Time Warner used to be.
And there is no competitor for them. They're the only one you can get.
Right. Well, now hold on a minute. Hold on, for cable television. Okay. So hold on. There's three things here. There's cable, there's phone over the internet, there's web browsing and YouTube and Hulu and all of that stuff over the internet, and then there's our news and Channel 8 and that stuff over cable television. So are you looking to get rid of all of that, or are you specifically looking to replace your internet provider so that you can do Hulu and YouTube and that stuff faster?
Yeah, I understand your question, and my gosh, we did not consider all these things. So
yeah.
I guess if I had to answer, I would say for the internet specifically.
All right. Okay. For the internet, it depends on where you live. There is a company in town called Greenlight, and they provide fiber-based connectivity.
I don't think we have Greenlight in West Webster.
I don't know. You can look on their website if you go to greenlightnetworks.com.
Yep.
Okay. I don't think it's available, but I'll definitely look into it.
Yeah, you can go in and sign up for free.
Yeah, you go in and check availability.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is, of course, that Greenlight recently got Tom Golisano as an investor, so they're going to be expanding fairly quickly.
Yeah, that's, of course, what we're waiting for. That's what we want.
Right. The other semi-good news is that New York State just moved to kick Spectrum out of New York State.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that was our lead story this morning at noon. Spectrum.
I'm sorry, I missed the first 7 minutes of your show. The first 15.
Then you missed it. But luckily, you'll be able, after the show is over, or later this afternoon, you'll be able to download the podcast. Stay on the line, Tim. We got to take a break, but we'll be back. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tim from Webster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 20 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we're talking to Tim from Webster, New York. Now, Tim, still there?
Yeah, you know, I want to say, please, for your forgiveness, it's so rare I miss even a minute of your show, and the one time I do it was an important time.
Isn't that always the case?
To me. So, no, I had no idea about Spectrum. I'll definitely read once I get online. And so what are people doing who are in my position who don't have Greenlight available?
Well, nothing yet. It just happened yesterday.
Yeah.
What happened is that the New York State has told Charter Spectrum, right, Charter Communications doing business as Spectrum in Rochester in New York State. They've told Charter that they have missed all their deadlines and all of the things they promised to do. And so they've told them they've got 60 days to get the hell out of the state. Now, they've also said that that does not include Time Warner. So they apparently are telling them they have to divest Time Warner because Time Warner is allowed to stay. Now, that doesn't mean Time Warner will stay. But obviously, they're going to fight this. This is going to drag out. The only people going to win are the lawyers. And so this is going to drag out for a very long time before anything gets done.
Yeah, because right now Spectrum has 60 days to appeal.
Right.
And develop a plan for switching out to somebody else.
Yeah.
Right. So
in the meantime, though, the Time Warner is an option?
Well, Time Warner is the end. See, this is where it gets confusing. Now, you have to learn in your head to split these things out. Time Warner is the entertainment stuff, all the TV channels that you get. That's
Time
Warner.
Okay.
The internet stuff that you get over your web browser or for your email or, you know, that Hulu and YouTube, that's coming over the same cable, but that's really being provided by Spectrum.
But it also gets muddier because...
Let's not get muddy. Honestly, let's not get muddy while we're talking about this. Then the third thing that they offer is phone service, and that comes over the same line. But the line is not the important part. What's important is the service that you're getting.
Right.
So the theory is right now, and again, it's hardly 24 hours old, okay? But the theory is you would be able to keep the entertainment stuff from Time Warner. They would find somebody else to provide the internet capacity for everything else.
Here's an example. Like right now, I'm with Spectrum, but I only get their internet. I don't have the TV part of it, which would be Time Warner. I only ask for internet service because I cut the cord. I don't want to pay for their TV part of Time Warner. I go to a package called Sling, and there's many others out there that provide my TV watching pleasure.
Right. So
I understand. Yep.
So, and I'm the opposite. I have a green light. And that's how I get all my internet stuff, and I still have Time Warner for my television channels, but they're separate. I could drop them tomorrow and still have internet and do everything I want to do.
And a third, you know, you could have Frontier for telephone.
You could have Frontier for telephone.
You get all three services from three companies, or you can
bundle it together, whatever it is you want to do. But the point is, if you're looking to, as they say, cut the cord... What they're really saying is you're looking to get rid of the entertainment package from Time Warner.
Right.
But maintain the internet capability from somebody.
Like I did.
Right. And your core question has an even worse answer. For the vast majority of people, you have two choices for internet service, your phone company and your cable TV company. And if you don't like either of them, tough. You have to pick one.
How is that not a monopoly?
It's a duopoly. So it's not a monopoly.
And also back in the day, it was what they call a natural monopoly.
Yeah.
That is to say, anybody could have come in, but it cost so much money, nobody did. And it wasn't that they were actively preventing anybody, just nobody took up the option.
So here in Rochester, we're getting a third choice with Greenlight. But they have to get easements and permits and approvals from every town board. So they move into a town. To get to the next town, they have to do the whole thing all over again. And that takes a lot of money and time. There is a satellite internet option, but that's really expensive. And only for people that are way out in the boonies.
And technically, there's actually only one, because even the phone company, you don't even see them advertising for their internet service because it is so slow.
Yeah, DSL internet, you're lucky to get five or six. With Spectrum internet, you get 100. And so it's just so much faster, they don't even bother advertising it much anymore.
Right. That's their 100 is their maximum that you can get 60. And
residential is now 100 standard.
Right. Well, I know so many people who are not getting 100.
Right.
But
it's 100 standard. What is Greenlight at?
Greenlight starts at 100 and goes up to a gigabit.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, 100, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's $50 a month for 100 megabits.
50 is 100. 100
500 is megabits is I forget what the
usually the
are.
Faster services are for businesses or apartment buildings where you need that much.
Oh,
more.
I bet they'll give it to anybody.
Yeah, they give it to anybody, but yeah.
But yeah, okay. So at any rate, my suggestion would be to go to greenlightnetworks.com and sign up. And what they'll do is that you put in your address, and you're not promising anything. They're not going to hold you to it. They're not going to charge you any money. It's basically you saying, I'd love to see it in my neighborhood. And they'll also tell you if it's already in your neighborhood.
Well, two things about that. It sounds like, number one, Spectrum knows that all these people that signed up last year are most likely going to pay the extra $20. And number two, my goodness, how long is it going to take to go through all those approval processes for green light?
Well,
they've been at it a couple, 3 years already, right?
They've been at it for several years already. And the nice thing about it is that Mr. Thomas Golisano has invested in green light, so things may start moving faster.
And they changed the laws too, as far as touch one pole,
right? The one touch option.
Yeah. So
yeah, and so that's another part of the problem for green light to run the fiber wire. They have to ask either Frontier Telephone or RG&E. We need to put a wire on your pole, every pole.
Right. Okay. At any rate, the bad news is you don't have a lot of choices right now. The good news is things are getting better.
Okay. All right, then. I'm all set. I really appreciate everything you guys are doing over there. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, the problem is we're right at the cusp, right? We're right at the start of what's essentially going to be a different era.
And we were so excited, 20 years ago when Roadrunner Internet came to town and was so much faster than dial-up.
I can't tell you how excited I was when I moved from 150 baud to 300 baud.
Yep.
I was ecstatic. And then I got to 1,200 baud, and I thought, holy moly.
Yep. That was about as fast as I could read. When I went to 2,400, right. I couldn't read that fast anymore.
I had written a terminal program in Forth, and I had to rewrite the whole thing when I got a 2,400 baud modem.
What's your name again?
Yep.
Okay, but if you're calling in, please speak up.
Yeah, Dave has to talk quietly because we don't want the microphone.
But you should speak up. And clearly, a lot of our phone connections are not as clear as we'd like them to be. And so if we can't hear you, we can't answer your question. Yeah.
Another one of the confusions that's happened with the Spectrum Time Warner merger is your bill may say Spectrum on it, but your service may still say Time Warner. So Time Warner offered 20 megabit internet. Spectrum offered 60. And unless you called to change, you were stuck at 20, and in many cases, that cost more than the 60 Spectrum was offering.
Right, right.
So look at your bill, see if it says Spectrum Internet or Time Warner Internet. You may be able to get faster for less.
Right.
But that is all going to change, possibly, in the next couple of months.
Right. And I will just say, at the risk of making both of you angry, green light is amazing. Yes. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is... Thank you, you're on camera. Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Bob, what's up?
Oh, good afternoon. I am very leery of what New York State is doing. Spectrum, Time Warner, whatever they're calling themselves this week, provides me with reliable service. It's fast enough for my needs. In fact, my speed limit is actually my own hardware, but that's something else. But I'm satisfied with their service, okay?
Yep. The problem that New York State has is that the people in the major urban areas are actually very happy with Time Warner.
I'll get to that in a minute.
And with Charter. Okay, go ahead.
So I'm afraid they're going to screw it up by forcing a change. So I'm not really happy about this. But another way to look at it is this is just New York State's heavy-handed attempt to have somebody pay for servicing areas where they're going to lose their shirt servicing because there aren't enough subscribers per mile to pay for the service.
Well, right. And the problem New York State has is that they have a charter to take care of all the residents of New York State. And they're attempting to do that. There's no easy solution. There's no simple solution. The problem really is that while Spectrum, Charter Spectrum has done very good job in more populous areas, they have done a not so good job in the more rural and less populated areas. And that was specifically one of the things they signed on and agreed to do when the merger was done. So the problem New York State has is that Charter Spectrum has not lived up to the responsibilities they agreed to live up to when they signed the charter. That's the problem New York State has.
That is a valid point, too. But New York State is trying to get them to pay.
I don't care why. Look, we're not a political show. That's not the point of what we do here. And I get it. You can rail about them all you like, and that's fine. The reality is that they're doing what they're doing because Charter Spectrum did not live up to what they had promised and signed up to do. And so,
well, I just wanted to play devil's advocate.
No, and I get it. I get it. But the reality is that why it's happening is beyond the scope of this show. Our scope is what we as people at the other end can do to mitigate our pain, not theirs.
Yeah, and I wish they'd stay out of it because I'm afraid they're going to screw the service up.
I'll guarantee you they're going to screw the service up. That's a given right there. There's no question to that.
No, it's not. When they transitioned from Time Warner to Spectrum, there was no. I had no problem at all.
Well, that's true. That's very true. So the real question is, who are they going to get? Who are they going to? Well, yeah. But we'll see who they get into to be the next provider, or if they in fact renegotiate with Spectrum. You know, the end of this may be that it was all a tempest in a teapot and no change gets made at all.
But what I hope plays out is something you mentioned earlier. This is going to get tied up in the courts for at least a couple of years.
Easy.
So maybe by the time all that plays out in the courts, Relight will be around and you don't have to worry about it.
That's exactly right.
Right, or any other provider. The problem is it's expensive to run the wires. And so some of the services we're seeing is cellular. 4G was you know, heralded as the big savior. Now they're talking about 5G is going to be the big savior.
Yeah, right.
That you'll get wireless communications.
Compared to an Ethernet cable? Yes.
Right. And the cell companies have always done usage-based billing, whereas the landline companies haven't. And so, you know, it's great. We've got 4G that will do 100 megabit, but you know, you're paying a buck a meg,
right?
But I got gigabit Ethernet throughout the house.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Wireless with Ethernet.
Yep.
Exactly. And so it's a mare's nest, and we're not sure where it's going to end up. I think that if you don't think that the folks over at Greenlight aren't looking at this with great interest. And now deep pockets. So we'll see what happens. But it is like I said, it's about 24 hours. We're into this about 24 hours. And most of it's on a Saturday. So we really have a long way to go before anything really gets done here.
Why did they announce this on a Friday?
That's how they announce everything.
Yeah. After the market closed?
Probably.
Well, how much other news comes out of Washington and everything else?
That's exactly right. You try to bury the lead, man. Get it down after the 5 o'clock news hour. All right, we gotta move along. But thanks, Bob.
Have a good day.
You too. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, but
and if they weren't going to do that, they shouldn't have promised they were going to do that.
Well, that's the thing. That's what New York State is saying, whether they believe it or mean it or not, is that they lied, and so now some consequence has to happen. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you, 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, Member Supported, Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 survives thanks to listeners becoming members. Join us now by phoning in your pledge at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or if you're out of our local area, call toll-free 800-790-0415.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Andy from Greece on the line. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick. Just to kind of throw my concern in with the previous caller, my first thought when I saw the news last night was, oh, my God, are they going to mess this up?
Well, we all... We all thought that. We'll see what happens. It depends on, you know, like I said, we're less than 24 hours in. And so I can imagine apocalyptic scenarios, and I can imagine utopian scenarios. So I'm sure they'll be somewhere in the middle, hopefully a little closer to the utopian end than the apocalyptic end, but we'll see in the long run. This is going to take years to play out.
And in the meanwhile, the lawyers are smacking their whips.
Exactly.
But, but like I said, my first thought was, oh my God, the state's getting involved. I hope there aren't too many TV shows I want to watch.
Right. What is it, the six worst words, I'm from the government, I'm here to help, or the eight words or whatever it is?
Yeah, something like that, yes. Anyhow, we're coming up on the first Thursday of the month, this coming Thursday.
Yep.
And the Rochester Googles will be meeting over at St. John's Meadows on Elmwood Avenue, a stone's throw from the corner of South Clinton and Elmwood. And anybody who has a Chromebook or wants to know about all things Google is more than welcome to come. We meet from 7 to 9.
Perfect.
And we also get into discussions on other topics, and I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't a passing interest in this whole Charter Spectrum.
We may have one or two comments about it, sure.
Yeah, we may have. That might pop up in the discussion as well.
Yeah.
But everybody's welcome, and friendly group of people, and come on down and ask your questions.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's one of my favorite meetings all month long. And I don't have anything else going on, so I will definitely be there.
Well, that's good. So far, I haven't been tapped to do any babysitting, so I should be there.
There you go.
But you have a good week, and we'll see you Thursday.
You too, Andy. Thanks.
I just don't want to talk about August yet. It's not right.
Please. I know. No kidding. This year is disappearing at a prodigious rate.
August 8th will be the Apple Cider meeting. It's going to be the Steve show again.
Yay! What are you going to talk about this time?
Model rocketry apps.
Oh, very nice.
Hopefully I'll get my telemetry app working. Yeah, there's apps for your smartphone. You put in your rocket to do telemetry and G-forces and whatnot. And we're going to have our ice cream social.
Ooh. Right, because it's August.
It's August, yeah. Hopefully. So you got to eat all the ice cream before it melts.
Exactly. Right back to the phones. Our next caller is Smiley from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Smiley.
Hey. I got just a couple of items. My old ears heard me right. Nick said near the beginning of the program that he was older than both Steve and Dave.
No, Dave. No, no. Dave
that
is older than
90 or 100 years old.
That he feels like a little over 100. Yeah.
Yeah, he feels like it some days.
Yeah, but it's Dave who's older than pretty much everybody else. As I said before, Dave Enright owns the patent on dirt.
Mm-hmm. I invented it.
Yeah, I think I'm older than Nick.
Yeah. I think you might be. I don't mind. I'm 68 years old. I'm 67 years old. I'll be 68 in September.
I was born in 35.
Yeah, you're old, Smiley. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now the
pre-war.
Item,
we got pre-war and post-war.
Exactly.
You mentioned about Time Warner and Spectrum. Well, when Time Warner actually started here in Rochester, they did supply all three things, phone, cable, and TV.
Yep.
What, did they get rid of something that they only have the
No, we TV were just using it that way for terms of discussion, because that's the way New York State has broken it up. They've told Spectrum they have to leave, but that Time Warner can stay. Now, legally, they can do that. Practically, I don't know how that happens.
Yeah. So, because what technically happened is the company called Charter Communications bought Time Warner Internet and Television Service, Time Warner Communications, right. And they named the new company Charter because, Spectrum, because Charter had a bad reputation.
Right.
So they're telling Charter that Charter has to leave, but Time Warner can stay, meaning they can't merge. Time Warner can stay
right.
as it was.
The whole point of this was that this is predicated on promises that Charter made when they asked New York State if they could merge with Spectrum. With Time Warner.
Yes.
Okay, I'll let you go. I mean, but I don't know if you forgot about that or what. You know, I mean, but
No. It's not a practical or real world differentiation. It's strictly a legal one.
Yeah.
Right, because originally what happened was Time Warner provided phone and internet and entertainment.
Then
Spectrum came in and took them over, and Charter came in and took them over and renamed the whole thing Spectrum, but made some promises. And so now what the state is saying is you broke your promises, so you have to leave. But the one who broke the promises is Charter. They have to go. Time Warner didn't break any promises. They can stay. Now, whether they will or whether Charter can even do that, nobody knows yet. Like I said, this is less than 24 hours old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the legal thing that New York State is saying. Charter has to go. Time Warner can stay. We don't care what you do with the name Spectrum.
What does that thing with the federal communications there, where they got rid of the net neutrality, how's that going to affect everything, too?
Well, that's a done deal. Net neutrality is gone, so in terms of that, that has no bearing on this, because that's what's carried on the wires. Not in this case, they're talking about where the wires are put. The thing that Charter lied about is the number of rural homes they would hook up in certain amounts of time.
But as a separate issue, many states, including New York, have their own net neutrality regulations,
right,
requiring the internet to be neutral in that state. And we're waiting for the lawsuits between the states and federal, to the whole states' rights versus federal mandate, to see if the feds can tell the states what to do or not.
Right.
And that's going to be tied up for a while.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody wins but lawyers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'll let you guys go. Thank you.
Thanks, Miley. Yeah, it's a mare's nest. We know that. Or rat's nest, I guess, if you prefer.
I didn't know mares made nests.
That's part of the issue.
It would be a hell of a nest, though, wouldn't it?
But mare's nest is a term. I know it is. I know it is. It's a complex and difficult situation. A muddle.
Yes. But why? Why do bears make nests?
I don't. Well, they don't, and that's why it's also an illusory discovery. Illusory? I don't know. Now, back to the phones. Our next caller is Walter from Greece, New York. Is this Walter calling back?
It is in a way, but a whole different topic, and I'll make it real quick. Remember, in the not-distant past, the state was dangling out millions of dollars for somebody to come along and make internet service to the rural communities.
Right.
And at that time, we were discussing about what could be done. Internet over power lines? Microwave? Or are they going to offer, like, over the cell system? Like, I think there's still a company like that out there. This sounds to me as if the state is dumped it all on Charter in order to alleviate, to save these millions of dollars. And what will likely happen is that they're going to fine the bejeebers out of them to let them stay here so the state can increase its revenues because we got a bad deficit.
Well, like I said, that is certainly a possibility. Like I said, it's only 24 hours old, but you're right. That one of the things that the state has always worried about is internet service in rural communities. And one of the things that Charter promised to do was alleviate that situation, and they did not. Now, is it possible that the whole point of this is to find them and make millions of dollars? Sure. I won't deny that. But the point is, we're just at the beginning of that process.
And one of the points that Phil makes out in his article is that there's kind of a general, not agreement, but a use in the cable companies around town that are around the country, that a cable company won't come into a city where there's another company.
Right.
And so even though New York State is telling Charter to leave and someone else has to come in, it's unlikely anyone else will come in and screw over Charter, because Charter might do the same to them in another city.
That's exactly right. And that's why our many people are already saying maybe it'll end up being Greenlight.
Yeah.
Who comes in and takes that part over. I don't know how any of that's going to work out. Nobody does. Everything right now is speculation. I have no idea. I know you'd be surprised at the number of people who don't tell me things. So I
Just like New York State is just trying to find different ways to raise money. It's no different than right now.
They want money, legalize marijuana. Denver's making $2 million a month.
Well, look at what they're doing right now to mess with the city, and that's just raising the simple parking at night.
Right.
They're changing it from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
But again, allow me to remind you, we are not a political show.
Right, but it's just to raise more money, and this is all about that.
Right, so...
Can I also bring up one quick thing?
Sure.
That I have Frontier, and they sent me a mail saying we are now able to give you 125 megabytes downloads, depending upon where you live. So I guess Frontier is trying to make their self-improvements.
That's a DSL connection if they bond 8 or 10 phone lines together.
Right. That'll work. Yeah. All right, listen, we're done.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're done for this week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to thank all those. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. Please, next week, call earlier. We're done. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow, and we will be back next week to bring you a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. You've been listening to Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you that we are member-supported. Jazz 90.1. We will see you in 166 hours.